book of Second Chronicles. If you have it, I'm going to invite you to turn there with me. The book of Second Chronicles. If you have your Bible, iPad, iBible, however you're doing it, electronic or hard copy. The Old Testament, the book of Chronicles, Second Chronicles, the 18th chapter. And we're going to cover some ground there. We're also going to add to the witness, if you have it, out of the book of Deuteronomy, also in the Old Testament, chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. And then also out of the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. I do believe they have it up on the big board for you. Come on, let's give a round of applause for our brother Herschel. He's here today. Amen. Our elder statesman. So glad for Brother Terry Williams. Amen. Thank God for seeing him. Thank God for seeing all of you in the house of prayer today. So we're moving around 2 Chronicles 18. We're going to take our primary text from there. Then we're going to get out of the books of law, Deuteronomy 13 and 1, and then Matthew 7, 15. If you have it, I'm going to invite you to stand with me. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. Thanks, Brother Norm, for doing that. Amen. So you have it. And if you're there, you'll find this story, which may or may not be familiar to you, but it speaks again of Jehoshaphat. We started speaking about him on last Sunday, and we're going to continue the discourse. It says, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and by marriage he allied himself with Ahab. And after some years, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen in abundance for him and for the people who were with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And so the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Will you go with me against Ramoth-Gilead?" And he answered him, "I am as you are, and my people as your people. We will be with you in war." And also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Please inquire for the word of the Lord today." And then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 in number, and said to them, "Shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain?" And they said to him, "Go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not still a prophet of the Lord here, that we may inquire of him?" The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Well, there is one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I got to tell you something. I hate him. And I hate him because he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil. I wonder why." And his name is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say such things." And then the king of Israel called one of his officers and said, "Bring Micaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly." The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, clothed themselves in their robes and sat each on his throne. And they sat at the threshing floor of the entrance to the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. Now Zedekiah, the son of Chenaah, had made horns of iron for himself. And he said, "Thus says the Lord, with these," meaning the horns, "you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed." And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand." Then the messenger, who had gone to get Micaiah, spoke to him as they were on the way, and he said these words. He said, now listen, the words of the prophets are with one accord to encourage the king. Therefore, please let your word be like the word of one of them, and speak encouragement to the king. So Micaiah said, well, as the Lord lives, whatever my God says, that will I speak. Okay, that's the sign of a true prophet. Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to war? Shall we go up against Ramoth Gilead? Or shall I refrain? So Micaiah sarcastically said, go and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hands. So the king said to him, come on, man. How many times shall I make you swear to tell me the truth from the Lord? He could tell by the way he spoke to him, he was fooling around. And then he said, okay. He said, this is, if you wanted word from the Lord, here it is. He said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains, as sheep scattered, as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. And then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you? He would not prophesy good concerning me, but only evil. And then Micaiah said, therefore, now hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing at his right hand and at his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab, king of Israel, to go up that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? So one spirit spoke in this manner, and another in that manner. And then a spirit came forward, stood before the Lord, and said, I will do it. I'll persuade him. And the Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, this is how I'll do it, Lord. I'll go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, listen, you shall persuade them and also have and shall prevail. Now go and do it. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared a disaster against you. And then Zedekiah, the son of Chenah, went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way did the spirit from the Lord go from me to speak to you? Not with words, but with my hand. Smacked him in his face. And Micaiah said, indeed you shall see on that day when you go into an inner chamber to hide. And then the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and return him to Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and water of affliction until I return in peace. Last verse, but Micaiah said, if you ever return in peace, then the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said to all the court, take heed, all you people. Amen? That's our primary text. Let's run to Deuteronomy. I just want to show you something as a point of reference, add to the witness. 13:1, if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder actually comes to pass, of which he spoke, saying, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them. Verse 3 says, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, which, by the way, is the first commandment. But rather, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, you shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet, woe be to him, that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken an order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, redeemed you from the house of bondage. Listen, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So shall you put away the evil from your midst. Amen. Can you guys handle one more? Raise your hand if this is the most Bible you read all week. I told you guys, don't raise your hand to that question. It's a trick question. Even if this is the most, don't admit it in church when people are looking. You know, people in church look funny at you and whatever. Matthew 7:15. Here we go. Beware of false prophets. Anybody know what we're going to talk about today? Anybody got a clue what we're going to talk about today? Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes, figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. I appreciate your patience and your diligence in standing. Today, I want to talk about being aware of false prophets, a.k.a. for our contemporary setting, fake friends. Fake friends. The rapper Houdini said, friends, how many of us have them, right? Now we need to decide, are they good friends or are they bad friends? Father in heaven, the hour has come for us once again to return our attention heavenward. We give you our full attention, our mind is alert, our spirit and our heart is open, and our body is set on edge because we want to hear from you. We want to hear something out of your word that will instruct, guide, and lead us in the path that leads to righteousness. Lord, our desire is to one day to see your face in peace, not wrath, not anger, but in peace. To hear you say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Now enter into the joy of the Lord. So be with us in these fading moments that we have. Holy Spirit, come up alongside us and cause your word to be planted down into the good soil of our heart. This is our prayer. We ask it in Christ's name and for his glory alone. And all of God's people said amen, 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 amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. There is a quote from Thomas Sowell which says, when you want to help people, you tell them the truth. When you want to help yourselves, you tell them what they want to hear. There's another quote along that same line that says, friends tell you what you want to hear, but good friends tell you what you need to hear. Amen? Hey, since you guys are running around your Bible, let me just do it now. Go to John 8:44. Familiar passage. You may even know it by heart. But I just want to get it out up front, and that way we can work it into the message. John 8:44, familiar passage. You guys see that, John 8:44? Jesus talking to the Pharisees. He says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Isn't that what it says? He is the father of it. And that's Christ talking about the devil. Beware of false prophets. That's a good churchy way to put it. Again, in a contemporary setting, it just be aware of what my grandmother would call foolish friends. Friends that mean you no good. They're out not to give to you, but they're out to get from you. And friends like that have a tendency to tell you what you want to hear versus what you need to know. And I say that as a backdrop to what we're getting ready to get into here with Ahab and his prophets. The one thing you need to know about these prophets were employed by King Ahab. They did not work for God. And so they were incentivized to tell the king what he wanted to hear. Amen? So before we get into that, verse 1, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. The first thing you need to know about Jehoshaphat, if you're not familiar with him, is that at this point, God had blessed him. He didn't have riches and wealth of his own strength, but God, through his own arm, has blessed Jehoshaphat, his house, and all of the nation of Judah. Amen? Tell your neighbor and say, the Lord had blessed him. But now that he's blessed, he makes a bad move. The very next phrase says, and by marriage, he allied himself with Ahab. By marriage, he committed his son to be married to the daughter of Ahab. And if you read over in 2 Chronicles, the 22nd chapter, you'll find out how disastrous that was. You follow what I'm saying? And in biblical times, especially in Old Testament times, kings would often give their sons or daughters in marriage to gain military strength, to occupy more land, or to bring peace between warring nations. So it was not marriage out of love, but often a marriage out of convenience or for political or financial gain. And I'm just saying that as a backdrop is to let you know Jehoshaphat didn't have to do it. He was already blessed. Right? Isn't that what am I making it up? He had riches and honor in abundance. But yet he made a bad move. The Bible's clear and tells us, Israelites knew it, do not be unequally yoked. They were told coming out of Egypt, don't marry these foreigners. And he told them why. They are going to persuade you to go after their gods. He said, I want you to stay true to me. I want to be your only God. Amen? But Jehoshaphat, he makes a good king, but he made a bad move. Then after that chapter, verse 2 says, and after some years, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria. And Ahab killed a whole lot of sheep and oxen. And he did all of it for Jehoshaphat and all the people who came with him. And the end of verse 2 says, and he did it so that he could persuade him to go with him to Ramoth Gilead. So he invites Jehoshaphat down. Hey, we're going to be in-laws. Hey, we're going to be related. Come on, things are going to be like they were. Israel and Judah, we used to be one nation. Saul, David, Solomon, we got kind of messed up there. But let's me and you get back together again. Come on down. We're going to have a big feast. He thinks it all good. He gets down there, and during dessert, he says, hey, would you mind going up to Ramoth Gilead with me? This king has been getting on my nerve, and I just want to get back the city which rightfully belongs to Israel. And so what you see here, and we're going to get it in verse 3 here, is that each step of the way, Jehoshaphat begins to compromise on what he knows what is right. Should have never given his son to be married to a wicked king. Should have never allied himself with Ahab. He now would get ready to find, you see here in verse 3, so Ahab, king of Israel, says to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me and enter into this war? And look what Jehoshaphat said. He says, I am as you are, my people as your people, and we will be with you in war. Now he's getting connected into a fight that's not even his. God just wanted him to stand and trust him. But now he's made one bad move. He's got it. Now he's got his family connected. You see what I'm saying? Now evil's coming in through that door. Now he's got his kingdoms connected. Kingdoms, he was a king, and so his business was running his kingdom. But for us in a contemporary setting, this is doing business with unbelievers. You follow what I'm saying? And when I say business, I mean entering into a partnership. I'm not saying don't go out and do business with unbelievers. If they're paying customers, you do business. You follow what I'm saying? But you don't align yourself or bring together your resources together with an unbeliever. That's what he was doing. He said, look, not only am I going, my family's going, and all of my men of war will go with your men of war into battle. Do you follow what I'm saying? And he's all of these steps. It's just him compromising. Before, he stood for the Lord, and the Lord blessed him. Now that he's blessed, he begins little by little to compromise. You see on the big board, spiritual compromise always opens the door for the false prophet. As soon as they see you willing to give a little, here comes the false prophet. Coming now, not to say what the Lord has said, but to say something that they think you might want to hear. And we already know what his intent is to lead you away from the Lord. So verse 4, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. And this is how we know Jehoshaphat was righteous. Not only had the Lord blessed him and brought him to a place of abundance, even as he was compromising, he still knew what was right. And all of the kings of Judah knew, you don't go to fight unless God says fight. Now, he had made the mistake and aligned himself with Ahab to go to war, but at least he had enough sense to say, hey, let's get a word from the Lord on this battle. Bring in somebody who can tell us what the Lord has to say about this. And so there he is, the king gathers all of his prophets, 400 men. And he says, Ahab, to his prophets, shall we go to war? Shall we go up against Ramoth-Gilead? Or shall I refrain? Watch out for people who got too many friends. This guy had 400, look, just like his wife Jezebel, she had 400 prophets. Now the king, he's got 400 prophets, and all of them are saying the exact same thing. They knew already that he wanted Ramoth-Gilead. They never inquired of the Lord because they were not the Lord's prophet. They said, hey, if that's what the king wants to do, let's tell him what he wants to hear, right? Isn't that what he said? And so they begin to tell him, go up, king. You're going to be victorious. The Lord is going to give it into your hand. Verse 6, but Jehoshaphat, thank God for the spirit of discernment. Now, he's compromising, but he at least recognizes we need a word from the Lord on this. I'm about to commit my men, my family, my kingdom. I need to hear from the Lord on this. Then he had enough spiritual discernment to recognize that these jokers, though there were 400 of them, which is enough to be convincing, he said, this ain't a word from the Lord. And he says, now he says, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here? He said, that's cool, king. You got your prophets, but is there not a prophet of the Lord so we can hear what the Lord has to say about this? Let's check out Ahab. Verse 7, king of Israel said, hey, we got a prophet of the Lord, but I got to say one thing about him. I hate him. That's what he says. He said, I hate him because he never prophesies good concerning me. Ask your neighbor, I wonder why. I wonder why. I wonder why. Not only do I wonder why he won't prophesy good concerning you, I'm wondering why that as he prophesies, why you don't make a change to your behavior. Why? Because evil loves evil. You know what I'm saying? He wanted to go his own way, so he surrounded himself with people that would encourage him, what? In that way. Jehoshaphat shocked. He said, wait a minute, don't say that. Don't speak evil. Because even, look, I know he was righteous and I knew he knew the word. The word of God says what? Touch not my anointed. And do my prophets no harm. In the Old Testament, they so revered or referenced the prophets, they wouldn't even speak bad about them. Even if they didn't obey their word, they wouldn't talk bad about them. I remember years ago, thinking about Deacon Reese and what happened. We used to come down for prayer service, noonday, and come down with Dr. Taylor and Aunt Les. We come down for noonday prayer. And it was an odd time. It wasn't our normal schedule, sir. But we would come down, and the guys would be sitting on the church steps with their wine bottles, getting a little drink on in the middle of the day. And Karen ain't less different. Dr. Taylor, they would come up and come to the door to open the door, and all of the guys would stand up. They would never come in. Sometimes they would come in. But at least they had enough reverence for the woman of God. Right? To at least attempt to conceal their waywardness. You follow what I'm saying? A few came in, but the majority did. But at least there was a level of respect, a level of honor. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm not going to join the church, but I do respect who you work for. You follow what I'm saying? And at least let me put this stuff out of the way and get out of your way. Do you follow what I'm saying? So Jehoshaphat said, no, don't say that about the prophet of the Lord. Verse 9, and so the king of Israel and the king of Judah, this is for this afternoon, I'll tie it together. They both put on their robes and sat each on his throne. You got your own Bible, mark that. This afternoon, I'm going to tie it together. This is part one. This afternoon will be part two, but I'm going to tie that together. And they sat at the threshing floor in the entrance to the gate, and all of the prophets prophesied before them. These guys sit on their thrones. They put on their robes. And these guys, for the lack of a better term, put on a show. They just put on a show. Of all this going back and forth, and again, just repeating what they had said to the king, you're going to be victorious. And then a spokesman among them, Zedekiah, he stood up and had taken horns of iron that he had made and says, that he gets himself in trouble, thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. All the men prophesy. He stands up as a spokesman, comes before the king, and said, the Lord had me craft these horns as a sign that you are going to gore the Syrians. Right? Getting King Ahab all hyped up. Not only are the people prophesying, this guy's got horns. Man, we're going to come out on top. And all the prophets prophesied, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. Verse 12, then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah speaks to him. Now they're on the way back. He's saying, now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Therefore, please let your word be like the word of one of them, and speak encouragement. He said, look, the king wants to go to battle. All of the prophets have already agreed that he should and will be victorious. But the king of Judah wanted to hear from you. So when we get to the king's court, when we get down to the gate of Samaria, I want you to do what the other prophets are doing. And all you got to do is just say what they say. They're saying go up, you say go up. They're encouraging the king, you encourage the king. He said, if you do that, it'll all be good. You'll be good. I'll be good. We can go to war. We can get this city back. Ramoth-Gilead, I won't get into it, but Ramoth-Gilead was an important city because it was a commercial city. That meant commerce passed through Ramoth-Gilead. So all of the kings throughout all this history of Israel wanted to control Ramoth-Gilead because whoever controlled the city controlled the commerce. Do you follow what I'm saying? So he says, this is all right. Just do that. So Micaiah says, listen, I don't know who you work for. I don't work for the king. I work for the Lord. And he says, as the Lord lives, whatever my God says, that will I speak. Right? Touch your neighbor and say, that's a true prophet. A true prophet speaks the word of the Lord. That's how you know a true prophet. He speaks the word of the Lord. It's verse 14. So he came near to the king, and the king said to him, finally, Micaiah, shall we go to war or shall we refrain? So Micaiah, with the counsel of the servant who has come and gotten him, he's coming there and he's seeing all the other prophets all prophesying and dancing and telling the king, go up. And everybody's sitting on edge waiting for Micaiah to seal the deal. If you just dot this I and cross this, look, we'll all be on one accord, and we can all go up the Ramoth-Gilead and die. They didn't know about the die part, but he's going to let them in on that. So everybody's ready. Come on, Micaiah, just seal the deal. You've already been counseled privately. Now come out publicly and just say what we want to hear you say. So here he is. So Micaiah opens his mouth. Shall we go out to war? And so he said, yeah, go. Go. He said, do your thing, king. Go, go. You'll prosper. He said, go up and it'll all be yours. And that's just how he said it, meaning sarcastically. He didn't speak the way a prophet speaks. And the king picked up on that and immediately said, come on, Micaiah. How many times do I have to beg you to tell me what the Lord is saying? So Micaiah, you're following the text? He said, right now he's in verse 16. Then he said, here it is. If you want the truth, I'll tell you the truth. Look at your neighbor and say, you can't handle the truth. So look what he says. He said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord says, these have no master, let each return to his house in peace. You want to know what the Lord said? The Lord showed me a vision, sheep out in the field, very common for Israel because many of them were sheep herders. They understood the imagery. And any time Israel had seen sheep on the hill, there was always a good shepherd. Always one leading, guiding, protecting thy rod and thy staff. Always a shepherd accompanying the sheep. But Micaiah said, this time when I saw the sheep, there was no shepherd. And as a result, the Lord has said, let every man go back to his house in peace. He was saying, the Lord says, if you resist the temptation to go into battle, you'll go home in peace. You'll live. Your family will live. Your house will live. But you got to avoid this temptation of following after the counsel of the false prophets. And so here, look at Ahab cops an attitude now. He said, look, Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you? I told you before we sent for him that all this guy does is prophesy bad stuff to me about me. That's what he said. Then Micaiah said, wait a minute, I'm not finished. If you want the real skinny, here it is. He said, therefore, he said, though, hear the word of the Lord. This is great. I want you to dig this. Here's the meat of the sermon. This is something we don't often get to see, is what happens behind closed doors. How many people grew up with the saying, don't mind grown folks' business? Anybody ever remember somebody saying that when you're young? Come on, what y'all talking? No, get out of here. Don't get in grown folks' conversations. We get a chance to see through the prophet a conversation not among grown folks, but in the kingdom of heaven. This is an actual conversation that takes place in heaven. And Micaiah is authorized to tell the kings what he has seen. And here he is. He lays it out. He said, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, just like you guys sitting on your throne. And all the host of heaven was standing, some on his right and some on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab, king of Israel, to go up that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? They were talking about Ahab in heaven, and God was plotting his demise. That's what he's doing. You just read it. And the Lord said, who will persuade him? And so one spirit spoke up in this manner, and another spoke in that manner, bringing wisdom, bringing counsel before God. And then it says in verse 20, then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord in his court and said, no, Lord, I'll do it. I'll go. I'll be the one to persuade him. And the Lord said, how are you going to do it? So verse 21, he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, this is going to work. I like it. This is a good idea. He said, go and do it. And therefore, he says, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these, your prophets, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. I want you to read this, because if you get this, the sermon will really bless you. Go to Job 12 and 13. I just want you to read this. As I was working through this passage, I came to this and I said, my, this is important. Job 12, 13. Everybody needs to read this. This is important. You guys have it, Job 12, 13? With him, capital H, referring to God, said, with him are wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. If he breaks a thing down, it cannot be rebuilt. If he imprisons a man, there can be no release. If he withholds the waters, they dry up. If he sends them out, they overwhelm the earth. With him are strength and prudence. The deceived and the deceiver are his. He leads counselors away plundered, and he makes fools of judges. What you are seeing played out in 2 Chronicles is a manifestation of this word. And what I want to draw your attention to is the fact that the deceived and the deceiver are his. Who's the deceiver? Satan, the father of all lies, right? Who are the deceived? Those that listen to the false prophet. Do you follow what I'm saying? Those that follow after what we now see is what? A lying spirit. And I want you to see that all of it is authorized by God. This is not something that's catching God off the... This passage may be unfamiliar, but one that is more familiar is the passage between God, Satan, concerning Job. When the sons of God come before the throne, and he asked him, where have you been? He said, I've been going to and fro, doing what I'm supposed to do, trying to deceive as many people as I can. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? And the only thing I want to pull out of this for your attention is this. What are they saying in heaven about you? Can God trust you to war with the deceiver? Can God trust you to keep your ears sensitized and away from the temptation of the false prophet? I'm sitting here all week, God, well, I'm trying to work through this passion. I couldn't get it left and right. And finally it dawned on me, we live in a day and a time where we are bombarded with counsel from everywhere. Every waking moment, counsel's coming in. Somebody wants you to do this. Somebody wants you to go here. Somebody wants you to put your money here. Wants you to do this. Wants you to, and it's coming from everywhere, and people are getting overloaded, and now they're following what? Anything. Any kind of, they're following stuff that's not even religion. They're I'm going after this now. I don't believe in that now. And they're being seduced by the deceiver. It is nothing more than the lying spirit on steroids, and he's loose in the world today because he's laying the foundation for the Antichrist to come. You hear what I'm saying? And he's doing it by putting a lying spirit into the earth, and those that are not rooted in the word of God are going to what? Follow this lying spirit, thinking that he's prophesying something good for them when it's really not. But because they don't have a discerning spirit, because they don't have the word of God, I heard the psalmist said, thy word, O Lord, have I what? Hidden in my heart, that I what? Might not sin against you. That when the false prophet speaks, I'll cover my ears. When the false prophet comes to entice me or to draw me away, I'll resist his temptation, and I'll do what? I'll stand on the word of God. This is the word I have. This is the word from the Lord that I know to be true. And so I'm not going to follow after your counsel. Are you with me? I want you to get this, because I believe this is a timely word, because I believe many of us are facing voices from the deceiver. Critical decisions. Life-changing choices that you're about to make. And if those things are not rooted in the word of God, you're going to find yourself in the position of Ahab. All of a sudden, people are going to come around you, and they're going to start giving you their advice. And you know it's their advice because they say what? Well, if I were you, stop there. You're not me. You don't know the God I know. You don't have the word that I have. No, I spend my time in the counsel of the word of God. My job is to study to show myself approved. My job is to stay in prayer until God speaks. When God speaks, then I'll make a choice. Then I'll make a decision. Then I'll let you know which way I'm going to do. But if God doesn't speak, I won't move. Yeah, I know you're laughing because everyone else is moving and everyone else is going forward. But I'd rather be late to the party and come in with God than to get there early and fall in the tents of the wicked. Touch your neighbor and say, beware of the false prophet. Beware of those who want to tell you what you want to hear. I'd rather avoid what I want to hear and get a word from the Lord. Touch your neighbor and say, all we need is a word from the Lord. Because if the Lord speaks, heaven and earth may pass away, but the word of God. Listen to this. I'd rather be in the word than in heaven. Because the book said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God shall stand throughout all eternity. So even if I get it wrong, but if I stand in the word, on the word, and abound in the word, I shall be able to stand. Touch your neighbor and say, stand on the word. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Come on, let's get out of this story. Let's get in and get out of it. This lying spirit has come forth. And Micaiah said, he's loose, and he's going to tell you what you want to do. And then Zedekiah comes up and smacks Micaiah in the face. I just want to remind you that when you start trusting in the Word of God, watch out for people who smack you in the face. Smack you because you won't do what they want you to do. Smack you because you won't act the way they want you to act. They want you to do like everybody else is doing. They want you to say what everyone else is saying. But thank God, there is still a true prophet in Israel, and those that'll stand on the word. Touch your neighbor and say, look out. The world is going to smack you in the face. Insults will come. Cyberbullying does happen. All because you stood for the Lord. You stood by faith. You stood when no one else would stand. Tell your neighbor, I'm standing on the promises of Christ my King. I don't know what counsel you're going to follow, but I'm going to stand on the word of the Lord. Somebody say yes. There you go. We're finished with it. Zedekiah smacks him. Micaiah says, indeed, you'll see. This is how you know a true prophet. You never know him by today. You always judge him by what happens tomorrow. He said, the day will come. Your day will come. You don't even know it, but you've come into agreement with the lying spirit that has possessed you. And this is how good the deceiver is. He didn't even know it. He didn't even know that he had come into agreement with the lying spirit. Verse 24, Micaiah said, indeed, you shall see that day when you go into the inner chamber to hide. Then the king of Israel said to him, take him, put him in prison. Give him the bread of affliction. Yeah, cut back his rations, cut back his water. And I want you to starve him to death till I return in peace. God had prophesied, don't go up to Ramoth-Gilead. If you don't go up, you shall go home in peace. Ahab says, no, I'm going to go up to Ramoth-Gilead, and I'm going to come back in peace, and I'm going to prove it to the man of God. And then the king said, take Micaiah, give him the bread of affliction. And 26, and thus says the king, put him in prison, feed him the bread of affliction, water of affliction. But Micaiah said, if you ever return in peace, then the Lord has not spoken by me. Take heed, all of you. That's my message to my church. Take heed to what you're hearing. Put more effort in guarding your ear gate, your eye gate, your mouth gate. Watch what comes out and watch what comes in. Guard your ears with what people are saying. If it sounds funny, get away from it. If it looks bad, close your eyes. It would be better for you if you would cut off the counsel and wait on the Lord than to be in. You got to see what Ahab did. He had the big dinner to entice him. The Bible says all of us, when we are drawn away, we're drawn away by our own lust. How many of you know the deceiver knows what you like? Yeah, he knows what tickles your fancy. What may be of interest to you may not be of interest to her. So he won't tempt her the way he tempts you. But the deceiver knew that Ahab wanted Ramoth-Gilead more than he wanted God. So he sent a lying spirit to draw him away into his own lust, into his own selfish desires. And he went
down because of a false prophet. That's my message to my church. Beware of the false prophet. Beware of what fake friends are telling you about how you ought to live. Because they're trying to draw you little by little. Norm, you don't have to go every. It ain't going to kill you. Go to this barbecue with me and the fellas. Yo, I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying come and hang out with us this one time, little by little. Yeah, I know she's not saved, but she's... If I had a quarter for every counseling session, that's how we start. Are you a born-again believer? Have you accepted Christ? Have you accepted Christ? Well, what do you mean by accepting? I mean just what I... Have you accepted Christ? Are you living for Him right now, today? Well, I used to go to church. I used to read my word. I like God. I like Jesus. I like the church little by little, inch by inch. Once you begin to open that door for compromise, the enemy always sends the false prophet. Why? Because you've opened the door. You've turned on the sign that said, I'm willing to listen to whoever wants to speak. But the more you consecrate your ears, and we're so worried about putting the oil on our head, we need oil on our ears. All of the gates, all of the access points to our heart, so that we can guard and protect our hearts, not against God, but against the deceiver. Who comes but to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So it may sound good. What king would not want to be victorious in battle? It sounded good, but it wasn't good because it wasn't from God. And all Micaiah said was, take heed, all of you. It's not a jumping message, not a shouting message. If you didn't dance last Sunday, you're probably not going to dance till the end of the summer. It was enough Holy Ghost in that place to last you all summer. Now it's time for sound doctrine. So that when you stop dancing, and stop falling out in the spirit, and stop laying, and get up the next morning, you can have daily bread from the Word of God. I don't know if you realize that Sunday is gone and will never come again. If you're going to make it from now to the next Sunday, you're going to need a word from the Lord. And the word to your house today is avoid the false prophet. And I can tell by the way you're looking at me, you know who they are. Yeah. Trying to deceive you. Trying to get you to compromise just a little. No one's going to come out and say, yo, burn up, don't ever go. No. Just little by little. I believe it's this word of God that says little foxes. Never the big foxes come and just run right. No, it's the little one. The one you never see, you never take note of, never steals much in one. It's always just little grapes. Before, by the time the harvest comes, what? There's nothing left. Because the deceiver has come. And I want you to read what he said in Deuteronomy. The deceiver is coming under God's authority. To what? Test your love for him. You know what the deceiver is going to offer you? Things you love. Everything on your top 10 list, that's exactly what he's going to bring. And that's why when we get into the Word of God, we need to what? Consecrate ourselves. Purge ourselves of those things, desires. And now what? Desire the things of God. Develop a taste in our mouth for good things, holy things, pure things, so that when the tempter comes, and he will come. The Bible said of Jesus when he was tempted that the deceiver found nothing in him. Everything that he thought would work failed. Because what? He had already emptied himself of that. That's what the 40-day fast, get it out of me. Get it out of me. That's what the 12-hour fast is. The ladies haven't gotten to it, but they're going to tell you, it's not a sleepover. Don't come here in your pajamas. We're going to give you a token. You're going back home. It's not a sleepover. We're coming to get that stuff out of us. Purge our motives, our thoughts, our ideas, what we think is right. And for 12 hours, just lay before God. My job is to get into the month of May and just tell you about the Levite's role. The lamp had to stay lit continuously. Why? Because it represented the continuous prayer of this constantly. That lamp had to be burned because it was what? Prayer going up to God. And that's how you're able to avoid the false prophet. The moment you stop listening to God, you'll start hearing the voice from the false prophet. And it'll never be one. 400. That's enough people to convince you to do anything. 400 people coming to tell you, you ought to do this. But the Bible said of the voice of the Lord, it was what? One small voice. That's all he heard. In spite of all the other shaking, it was just one still voice that spoke truth to him. And my question to my church is, can you hear his voice? What are they saying about you in heaven? What is the conversation God and Satan are having about you? What test is God authorizing him to bring against your house? Are you prepared? Are you ready to stand? Not on the counsel of the ungodly, but on the counsel of the righteous. So that's our message for the house. I hope you embrace this truth. I hope you go home and this kind of message causes you to pray. Lord, help me to hear and obey. Give me a love for your word. One of the signs of a maturing believer, you begin to love the word of God. Begin to love the word. I get weary of people say, oh, Pastor, I just can't read. I just can't. That's a sign you're immature. You haven't developed. And at the early stage, you got to force yourself. In the early stages, you need counsel around you that'll say, no, come on, let's pray together. Come on, let's read, let's study together. Because you got to get this word in you. If you don't get this word, you won't be able to stand. You won't make it. And you'll never enter in to what God has for you. Just like he has for Jehoshaphat. He's got honor, riches, and wealth in store for all of us. But we got to pass the... Jehoshaphat almost died listening to the false prophet. Let that not be your testimony or my testimony either. Shall we all stand? If you're here this Sunday and you are facing big choices, because it was